Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
This tornado right here has had a crazy evolution. Piping out right now was a big stove, was a comb, almost was a wedge. But here it is, right here behind me. Insane evolution of this tornado. We're gonna have to stay on this. Insane. Just look at that. Super close here, 0 meter.
My name's Edgar O'Neill, and I am a professional storm chaser. I've been doing that for, this will be my 13th year. I started full-time chasing in 2020. So this will be my sixth year doing it as a full-time job. And my website is www.edgarthestormchaser.com.
That's awesome. So first of all, thank you for joining us today. I'm going to just jump right into some student questions that were sent to me. And guys, you guys are live here. Go ahead and message your questions, and I'll let you unmute to ask Edgar. But one of the kids emailed me. They wanted to know, what inspired you to become a storm chaser? Like, how'd you start?
Yeah, so I moved to Oklahoma in 2012. And then in 2013, there was a tornado that was coming towards my house. It was the El Reno tornado. It happens to be the largest tornado in history. It was 2.6 miles wide. I didn't know anything about weather. I didn't know how to read radar. I had just moved from Florida, so tornadoes weren't quite the big deal there, more hurricanes over there. And so me and my family had to run from that tornado. That was the one that, like, you know, the news got on and said, hey, if you don't have a shelter underground, you need to flee. I was petrified. We had to drive, you know, I didn't, you know, like, as you know, the man of the household was trying to protect my family. So I had our two kids, my wife, and yeah, we had to run from that. And so after that, I was like, man, if I'm going to live in Oklahoma, I probably should learn a little bit more about this. And I my dad had always said, you know, like, if you're afraid of something, you might need to get more knowledge and you might need to understand it more. So I actually asked someone if I could go on a ride along. And then I went on one and was hooked. And I, at the time I was a social worker and I was like, you know what, how am I going to make this a full-time job? Like, that's how instantaneous the first time I went out, I knew I wanted to do this for a living.
So I'm going to ask, now you talked about the 4 miles or 2.6 miles wide. So it's like 4 kilometers for international kids, like we're somewhere around there. What is the most dangerous storm that you've ever chased that you, like, went after it?
It's hard to say. So the strongest tornado I've ever chased was in Greenfield, Iowa. And that was in 2024. That actually measured wind speeds of 313 miles an hour in it. Some of the strongest wind speeds ever recorded on Earth. If you've seen the footage of the windmills, the giant windmills getting toppled by a tornado, that was me shooting that footage. So that one was pretty crazy. But the most dangerous I've ever been in was in the same year. Me and Reed Timmer were inside of a wedge tornado in a truck for over 10 minutes. Some people in front of us got flipped over. We had to get people in the middle of a tornado out of their car and into our vehicle. So that was probably the most dangerous thing that's ever happened to me while storm chasing.
So have you ever gotten to a situation where you thought you were, like, far away and the tornado kind of came at you? Like, it kind of changes, because it changes, like, the direction pretty quickly, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's happened several times, especially when I was early on chasing and didn't understand, like, tornado dynamics as much as I do now. It was the Bridge Creek tornado in 2016. I was actually driving on a road parallel to it, and the actual tornado grew into my road more than turned into my road. So basically there were a bunch of trees on the left side. Once we got to the clearing, I realized I was in the wrong spot, saw the roof of a house get ripped off right in front of me, and had to whip my vehicle around real, real fast. Actually, the back of it came up off the ground. And then we had to drive away from it.
That is terrifying. And obviously we're not condoning anyone going into storms. It's very dangerous. You guys have a lot of equipment and checklists before you do what you do. Can you walk our viewers and listeners through that? What storm chasers professionally have to do to prepare to ensure that they're safe?
Yeah, absolutely. So it kind of depends on where I'm chasing and who I've been chasing with in my career. And yes, you never want to drive inside of a tornado unless, you're in like a tornado tank. And I'll talk about that. I chased with Team Dominator for a couple of years, and we were in a vehicle that was literally made to be a probe to go with inside tornadoes with all types of weather instruments on them, which is measuring, pressure, humidity, wind speeds, and a lot of other different things. That's also, if you've ever seen the vehicle, we shoot rockets inside of the tornadoes with that one as well. But our checklist, I mean, it's, a lot of it goes like safety wise. Our checklist is you want to make sure that you have everyone that's in the vehicle with you is prepared to know what to do if you do get in a dangerous situation. Because, with tornadoes, like you say, being unpredictable, sometimes you find yourself in situations storm chasing that you didn't want to be in, but you just happen to be in them. So always having a helmet around is a plus. Make sure that you have a vehicle that, I know it sounds crazy, but that actually has seat belts. Or in the Dominator, we had full body 4-point harnesses that we would put on if we were going to be inside of a tornado. And then also just your normal vehicle checks. I mean, you want to make sure that all your tires are aired up. Like that could be easily overlooked, and that could be something that could be very dangerous to you at the time. And then also, like, I mean, just studying the models of what you think the storms are going to do that day. And then as the day comes, making sure that you're looking at surface observations, you're looking at satellite imagery to make sure that you can do everything within your power to be as safe as possible while you're chasing the storms.
Can you describe kind of what it feels like to be up close to a tornado or like some sort of major storm system?
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, I've been inside of several tornadoes with Team Dominator, that measuring data. What people don't realize, there is a steep pressure drop with inside a tornado. So your ears pop when you're inside of a tornado. Also, it almost gives you a concussion like symptoms afterwards, like you have a little bit of dizziness. So that can be pretty intense. And then it's just the wind speeds and the sound of the tornadoes is, people refer to it as a freight train or a roar, and they're correct. But then if you happen to be in a vehicle that's meant to be inside of one, what you don't think about is what it sounds like to have all the debris hitting your vehicle. It's very loud. Sometimes there's very large hail up to the size of softballs in that as well. So that can be very loud. And I've been inside of the eye of a lot of hurricanes as well. The strongest that I've ever been in was Hurricane Ian, that was almost a Category 5 when it hit the coast of Florida. And that's the same way, just unrelenting wind, I mean, standing up and just being in winds, it's just like blowing 160 miles an hour is really wild.
Would you say that because I've never really been in a tornado. I'm from Michigan, so they're like smaller, like at least where I'm from. But like in the eye of the storm, is it true that it's like calm a little bit, like in the middle of it?
In a tornado, no, I don't think so. We don't have a lot of data that suggests that. And even we've had probes and been inside of them, is I've never it, in the times I've been inside of it, they've never been calm. In a hurricane, absolutely. Yes, the eye of the storm, it's really eerie. If you can get yourself right over the eye, there is a time where you're going from, 160 mile plus per hour winds in a really strong hurricane. And then all of a sudden, it's just calm. If it's a clear eye, you can actually see blue sky for a minute, and then the back end of it hits you, and it gets dark again, and the wind starts all over again.
That is straight up spooky. Like
It
just
is.
the thought of that. I'm sure. And do you have any footage of like anything like that on any of your pages?
I do have the inside. I've actually never got to experience the blue sky eye wall, but I do have footage of myself being in Hurricane Ian, through the eye wall. So like it calmed down for like, I'd say maybe 15 to 20 minutes, and then it picked back up again. But
Oh,
like
yeah.
seeing a blue sky eye wall is like, I would say that's like kind of the holy grail of hurricane chasing. If you're chasing a hurricane, being able to see that is, would be something spectacular.
That is unbelievable. And I'll get with you after this and get some of that footage and we'll embed it
For sure.
into the interview. I would be remiss. I'm the teacher. I gotta know what role do storm chasers play when it comes to helping scientists and meteorologists understand severe weather and help save lives?
For sure. I mean, so I can talk a lot about the work I did with Team Dominator because we were very scientific focused there, and they still are. So what we're just trying to do there is still understand what's going on inside of a tornado. That a lot of people would think that we know that by now, but we don't. There's still a lot of things. There's subvortices with inside the tornadoes that we, can pack even higher of a punch of wind. So yeah, like a lot of that is. That information is given to places like the National Weather Service, but then also like for that Greenfield tornado that we happened to be in, the video footage was actually useful because we got that video footage to a team that was, I don't know if you've ever heard of a mobile DAO, but it's a mobile radar unit. And so they use that information to like, to put the visually look at what's happening with those wind speeds. And like I said, that's just observational science. And that's actually a way that we help a lot with observational videoing, especially videoing in high resolution, high frame rates. That can help a lot in that area as well. And then also, I mean, just like we're the people reporting, like far as safety wise, we're the people reporting to the National Weather Service, letting them know that a tornado has been down. There's been several times where I've been looking at a tornado, a town, literally the sirens aren't going off yet. And I'm like yelling at police officers and then they get the siren to go on, or we're, you know, messaging the National Weather Service. So storm chasers play a really vital role in that first response and safety aspect as well.
So you've literally saved lives, like doing that work, which is amazing. Can you quickly walk through, for those of us who are not meteorologists or not storm chasers, how does a tornado get created, and why are they so prevalent in certain areas of the world, mainly that part of the United States, Tornado Alley?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different types of tornadoes too, because I mean, I think the definition is really loose with a tornado, like a circulating column of air. But the main ones that we're looking at are attached to storms called supercells. So all a supercell is a spinning thunderstorm. And what happens in those situations, especially in the plains, you have very intense updrafts and very intense downdrafts. And then when you combine that with shear wind speed going at different angles, that actually can start rotation. And that's actually how a funnel of a tornado happens and goes to the ground, like in a very fast way. But one of the things that is really interesting about Tornado Alley in itself is you have like an area of plains, and then just off to the west, you have higher elevation. So you have the higher elevation where the ground is heating up, which sometimes can cause a warmer layer of air to be above a cooler layer of air, known as the cap. Or if you're looking at a model, it's represented as CIN, C-I-N. And that can be what can create those explosive updrafts that you see in storms, especially the really, really strong ones. And then you combine that when we have moisture pulling up from the Gulf of Mexico into the plains. That's why Tornado Alley is basically called Tornado Alley.
That's wild. So can you share like one of the most amazing moments? And I use that, I mean, like not amazing in a good way, but in awe, like you're absolutely in awe at the sheer power of one of these storms.
Oh, absolutely. For sure. I mean, seeing that windmill get knocked down for one was kind of insane, just seeing that happen, because those things are massive structures. I'm pretty sure you guys have some of those out in Michigan as well. I mean, these things are just hundreds of feet tall, and they're massive pieces of equipment. And watch it buckled like it was a plastic straw. That was insane. But I think the most, you know, awe-inspiring is also the most devastating part is there's been several times that I've pulled up into a town immediately after it's hit and just seeing a full town leveled. I mean, you're talking about like full homes gone, just concrete slabs left. And that just really lets you like you're in reverence of the power. Like you're like, you have to respect it when you see that, because you're like, holy crap. Like this whole huge area, like with, you know, hundreds of houses is just slabbed. I mean, it's just gone. The power that it takes to do that is just insane. Like the only thing I can compare them to is like, you know, seeing pictures of, you know, war photos, when you see towns that are bombed, it looks very similar. And it's crazy to think that Mother Nature just has that much power, just at ready disposable a lot of the times.
That's good. I know that Thomas, one of our newer students was asking that question right now. So he had answered that for you. So good question, Thomas. So we'll go with a couple more questions and I'll let you go. This is from me. How do you balance the thrill of storm chasing? Because I can only imagine the adrenaline that's surging through you when you're that close. How do you balance chasing the responsibility and staying safe and respecting the communities affected by storms? Like, how do you juggle all of that?
That's a great question, actually. And that's something that I think people need to talk more about. I think for me, I think you have to find a way to remain calm in those situations, because you don't want to I don't want my fight or flight responses to get triggered and to start going in that direction. Like I try to stay calm so that I can make clear decisions. And the best way you can do that is really understanding the science, understands what's going on in it, and then also having experience. And I know we do get adrenaline from them, but I will say, after you've chased a lot of tornadoes, so in 2024, I saw over 80 tornadoes and we were inside over 11 of them. I had adrenal fatigue. I stopped getting adrenaline, and there was actually mental health. There's mental health concerns that happen when you have that adrenal fatigue. So I think a lot of it too is just keeping your brain prepared. You know, talking about it, you know, making sure that you're treating your body well. You know, I've incorporated meditation as well into my life to really help process that information. And then as far as respecting the communities, I think that's very important. And so when you're going in, what you don't want to do is go into a community and start putting video cameras in people's face after this has happened. The way I look at it, you'll see that I don't have footage of aftermaths. Whenever I go into tornado damage right after the fact, I mean, I'm going into full-fledged search and rescue mode. I mean, most of us storm chasers are also, we have different, you know, CPR. There's a training called Stop the Bleed that we do because we are the first responders there. We're there before police, firefighters, or anyone most of the times. And in situations like in Rolling Fork, Mississippi in 2023, that town was completely leveled in the middle of the night. And even like their fire station as well was also leveled. So for almost 45 minutes, it was only storm chasers there doing first response. So I think in those situations, it's really important to put down the cameras. You're not there to document someone else's misery. At that point, you're there to help. And you definitely should be respecting those communities in doing that.
Well answered. You know, way to address that. You know, I just think that's very, very paramount. We got a question. What is the most memorable storm you've ever chased, and why does it stand out to you? And that could be also hurricanes as well. Like what's one that just stands out?
I think, just this year, actually, and Gary, South Dakota, it was a memorable moment because it was, a very photogenic tornado. It was out in the middle of fields, which is something as storm chasers, we always love to see. We don't want to see anyone's houses or property getting destroyed. But what was crazy about that tornado, it was on the ground for over 30 minutes. And I believe it only traveled 2 miles. So like literally it was like from, capturing data and getting footage of a tornado. I mean, like we could just drive around that tornado and get every angle that we wanted. I don't know if anyone's seen the footage. It's something that most of us have never seen before. It almost looked like a squiggly arm was coming down the tornado and it was like oscillating. And so that one really sticks in my head just because it was like, there wasn't a lot of rain associated with the storm. It was relatively rain free. And so it's a very visually, and quite, I mean, pretty in the sense of like Mother Nature created this thing. But yeah, that to me, that one sticks out the most, probably because it was one of the most recent, but also it was just like, you just looked at it and you couldn't believe what you were seeing. I was standing next to other storm chasers who have been doing this for decades. And we were all staring at each other in the face going, oh my goodness, can you believe that we're seeing this right now? Like Mother Nature just has surprises in store for you all the time.
That's amazing. That's unimaginable to me. We got a question from a student. I'm guessing she's in France. When you chase tornadoes, can you see the problems of climate change?
You know, it's hard for me because I will say, you know, I'm definitely not like a meteorologist, and the type of weather that I have studied is, you know, basically small scale forecasting. But, you know, it would be interesting to see, like a lot of people do speculate that climate change is changing where tornadoes form even and how strong they are. A lot of people, I don't know if you know, there's been like, people will say there's been a shift to Dixie Alley, which is over, you know, in the more wooded area of the United States, Alabama, Mississippi. So yeah, I mean, I think climate change does have an impact on it, but I also don't think just because climate change is happening, it doesn't mean that it would necessarily make the tornadoes stronger in the sense, because tornadoes require a very certain number of ingredients. It's like making a really intricate cake. And so, you know, climate change could just set one of those parameters off and it could make them not happen just as much as they could happen. And like I said, though, I'm not a scientist that studies this full time, but I do read a lot of that research. And I think it would be interesting to hear more and more how like climate change is affecting tornadoes. It's a little bit different, I think, than hurricanes, because the hurricanes, you know, the warm water can really, warming up the water there can make those storms really strong. But that's not really the case so much with tornadoes, because you don't see them happening a lot during the heat of the summer. Those are happening more at the right, you know, like 70 to lower 80 degrees in the spring.
Well, thank you for addressing all that. So our final question, I always ask this of all of our guests, is there any advice, Edgar O'Neill, professional storm chaser, any advice you could give to these kids, whether they want to go into storm chasing or meteorology or something completely different? What advice would you have for these kids?
Oh man, well, it's a crazy time to get into storm chasing right now, because it's at a very height of popularity, which is kind of crazy for people that have been chasing a little bit. But my advice always is just to learn about the science behind it. You know, understanding like the dynamics behind tornado genesis, how those things form. Even like looking at other chasers like live streams is invaluable. I wish I would have had that when I first started chasing, because you can watch experienced chasers, see how they position themselves around the storms. You know, see what type of safety measures they put in place before you ever even go out. And then if you really did want to get into storm chasing, it's something I encourage everyone to do, is go with someone that's done it for a long time and learn. That's what I did. I had somebody basically teach me for 2 years. I didn't video, I didn't put it on social media, because I think it's more important to be there and understand your surroundings, get comfortable with being around a supercell and what parts of the supercell you're around. And the same with a tornado, like understanding positioning where you're at. And it's hard to do that when you're like trying to take a photo or stream at the same time. So a lot of younger people are getting into it, and I see a lot of them, you know, they want to start going right into videoing and live streaming it. But what I encourage people to is just, you know, you don't have to go fast. It's much safer, it's better to understand if you just go at your own pace and learn. And then the other side fact I'll say, if you're interested in chasing tornadoes, I don't know if you're aware, there is a massive amount of tornado video games out now that are getting very, very popular. There's actually a game called Outbreak, which is a simulator. It's very similar to Microsoft Flight Simulator, but for storm chasing. Really accurate and a fun way to maybe get used to storm chasing if that's something that you have an interest to do.
Very good, and fun and safe way.
Yeah, very safe. Yeah, it's in front of your computer. I do it all the time. I use it to keep my skills sharpened when I'm not out chasing.
That's great. All right, Edgar, before I let you go, before I end the meeting for all, I traditionally allow everyone to unmute. So if we can all unmute, and can we all say thank you to Edgar O'Neill for taking the time to talk to you guys today about his profession? Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so
Thank you.
much.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
It was awesome to
Thank
talk
you.
and answer some questions for you guys.
Appreciate you, sir. All the best. Best of luck.
Thank you.